Today, business confidence weakens again. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. NABARS released their latest business survey today for August, which was conducted from August the 20th to the 31st. Confidence has weakened thanks to the challenging domestic economy and concerns globally of weakness there too. It also shows that the rate cuts and tax refunds have not provided a boost to the economy. The tax cuts are expected to inject around $7.7 billion into the economy, representing 0.4% of GDP, but the falls are consistent with our own business and consumer surveys, and we expect more weakness ahead too. The NAB Business Conditions Index fell, down by 2 points, 2 plus 1. That's a below average reading, and in fact is the softest result since 2014. And business confidence also fell by a larger 3 points, 2 plus 1, which is again well below average readings. And the NAB survey reports improved conditions for the finance sector, and this is a direct consequence of the APRA loosening and the pickup in the housing market, which is also a response to lower interest rates. But the broader economy is being impacted by powerful structural headwinds. Weakness in wages and productivity is a key structural challenge, constraining consumer spending. And incomes in real terms have not lifted for many in a decade. Then there is the obvious decline in construction, led by the sharp home building downturn. And more broadly, the trade wars, the risks from China slowing, and many other elements are having an impact, as we discussed in our recent Property Imperative Weekly. A recession in the US would trigger a major downturn here, and many are still expecting that to occur next year. The NAB survey said that trading conditions fell by 4 points to plus 3, and profitability also fell by 3 points, down to minus 3. Employment conditions have trended lower, broadly consistent with slowing sales, notwithstanding a partial rebound in August, up 2 points to plus 2. The survey suggests that this is consistent with monthly job gains around 16,000, which is a little below population growth, so suggesting unemployment is set to rise. Forward orders remain weak, down 1 point to minus 4. And in one weird result, capacity utilization levels moved a little higher over the past 3 months, but NAB notes that it has been volatile in recent months and is still a little below the levels seen a year ago. By industry, weakness was broad-based, with the exception of mining, who benefited from recent higher commodity prices, and finance. Construction conditions softened further, down 2 points to minus 5. NAB says, at one end of the scale, mining continues to stand out, seeing the most favourable conditions and confidence, as well as elevated employment and capex. Retail, on the other hand, remains weak, despite a sharp improvement in the month, with conditions deeply negative. Construction and manufacturing are also weak, likely reflecting developments in the residential construction sector, as well as weak domestic demand and globally weak confidence. And the survey still suggests weak price pressures, which, against a backdrop of slowing activity, may well weaken further. By state, again, it was a consistent picture of weak business conditions, the only exception being the mining state of Western Australia. Their conditions lifted to plus 12 in July and held around that same level in August. Mining investment is at a turning point, with a prospective modest uptrend in sharp contrast to the declines of the past 6 years. This may provide limited good news later for the Western state. But standing back, more evidence of widespread weakness, signalling lower interest rates ahead, with significant downside risk clearly possible now. So the question to me is, Just how long will the property upswing, partial though it is, continue in the wake of the acres of bad news? Perhaps this is one reason which helps to explain Westpac's mortgage rate cuts. According to Banking Day, Westpac and its subsidiary banks have launched an aggressive round of mortgage interest rate cutting, with reductions as much as 130 basis points effective today. Westpac's four-year investment fixed option, interest only, was cut 130 basis points to 3.79%. And Westpac's basic variable rate for owner-occupiers was cut 15 basis points to 3.43%. And its principal and interest variable rate for investors was cut 34 basis points to 3.74%. And its interest-only variable rate for investors was cut 44 basis points to 3.99%. St George Bank and Bank of Melbourne cut rates by up to 39 basis points, while Bank SA cut its interest-only basic variable rate for investors by 44 basis points to 3.99%. And talking of Westpac, the ABC via Michael Yander reported that ASIC is appealing the recent judgment which found in favour of Westpac in their use of the household expenditure measure benchmark. This is important because the federal court's decision in the landmark ASIC versus Westpac test case on responsible lending laws could mean that the poverty line becomes the new test for whether a loan is responsible or not. Justice Parham's judgment, should it stand, effectively validates the bank's use of the HEM benchmark in assessing loan applications, a benchmark used in some way by most home lending institutions. ASIC Commissioner Sean Hughes said the regulator felt compelled to appeal after Justice Parham ruled that a lender may do what it wants in the assessment process. The Credit Act imposes a number of legal obligations on credit providers, including the need to make reasonable inquiries about a borrower's financial circumstances, verifying information obtained from borrowers, and making an assessment of whether a loan is unsuitable for the borrower, he said in a statement. ASIC considers that the federal court's decision creates uncertainty as to what is required for a lender to comply with its assessment obligation, nor does ASIC regard the decision as consistent with the legislative intention of the responsible lending regime. For those reasons, ASIC will appeal to the full court of the federal court. Of course, the right move would be to tighten credit availability to offset the risks in the system from high debt. But as we discussed yesterday, that will not happen. APRA is weakly allowing the risks to build, and the RBA, according to a speech by Philip Lowe today, is now blaming high levels of migration for low wages growth. Any excuse to avoid the real discussion which needs to be had about too much credit in a weakening economy. The debt bomb continues to tick, and quite loudly now, it's just a matter of time. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.